I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. The week of September 3rd, 2024, the Maryland Supreme Court blocks two referendum questions from getting on the ballot in Baltimore, a tax cap proposal and a baby bonus proposal, which would have given city newborns and adoptees $1,000 each. Metro Red Line, closed for the summer between Glenmont and Tacoma Park stations, has reopened. The EPA released stormwater discharge data for the Chesapeake Bay jurisdictions, and only Washington, D.C. and West Virginia, of the seven jurisdictions in the watershed, passed. Later this year, there will be an evaluation of the Chesapeake Bay Agreement. And much more. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program. If your goal is to make a meaningful impact with a career in local, state, or federal government, discover what this degree can do for you. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society functioning precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from Washington, D.C. area post-punk rock band Gray Swift. Mike Mangiaricino on guitar and vocals. Fabrizio Cariani on guitar and backing vocals. Evan Hurd on bass. And Chris Blackburn on the drums. The songs come from their album, Closure Ends. Labor Day 2024 has come and gone, and the last fling of summer has passed. The school year takes off in earnest now. The election season ramps up, including, importantly, local school board races and ballot questions. We have interviews with all Montgomery County school board candidates already available, and analysis of ballot questions, not just in Montgomery, but elsewhere as well. In Baltimore, the Maryland Supreme Court blocked two ballot questions. First, a tax cap, which according to the city, would have caused a near $1 billion budget gap. And second, a ballot question, this one from the progressive faction within the city, the baby bonus question. The move to make the city give $1,000 to the families of every newborn and new adoptee in the city. Now, these cannot be on the ballot. Nate Golden is a Baltimore City math teacher and founder of the Maryland Child Alliance, which sponsored the baby bonus question.
There's the ruling and then there's the decision, and we have the ruling only. And the ruling said the baby bonus violates Article 11A of the Constitution. Their full legal opinion will come out in many months. And so the only hint we have so far is that they are suggesting that we violated the case law, this case called Cheeks, where the court had ruled that charter amendments must speak to the, quote, form and structure of government. One of our arguments in court was the words form and structure don't appear in Article 11A. It's an implicit reading from the court. And so, you know, without a textual basis for it, we don't really know how to apply it. And so all we can do is look to the case law. Twice the court has upheld that delegating fiscal authority is form and structure of government. So there's a case, Smallwood, in 1982, where there was a property tax cap in 2012 that delegated the binding arbitration of firefighters and police to a third party. And so we really believe that when we delegated fiscal authority away from the council to the voters, that this was form and structure. It seems that the court disagrees. When we get the court's full legal decision, I think the baby bonus ruling will be a lot more telling about the future of what's permissible than the Renew ruling. And I don't want to get into that too much, but like the argument was that Renew violated state law. And that's very clear in the Constitution that you cannot violate state law. That was not the argument with the baby bonus. The argument with the baby bonus is that this went against the Constitution. And that's a little bit more vague. And so the way the court interprets Article 11A and applies it to the baby bonus will set the new guidance for charter amendments across the state, you know, indefinitely.
I can hear the disappointment in your voice. And so I want to ask you, what is next for you?
Our plan is to keep our coalition together. We were able to build a pretty large coalition of people that care about kids. And so our plan is to keep that coalition together and wait till we have more information to see what's next. One thing we've really heard from our volunteers is that they really loved being a part of an issue campaign. So we're really hoping that the door stays open for, you know, us to tweak the baby bonus in a way that the court finds permissible and do it again.
Let me ask you specifically, are you working on housing?
We are not doing any housing stuff right now. So we basically have two projects going on. We had the baby bonus, which was extremely local, and we do state-level advocacy for an expanded child tax credit.
What about the blueprint? I mean, the blueprint is chronically underfunded, and it's going to get worse. If there is any instrument that is going to deliver, for example, early childhood education, which is super important,
yeah,
it's going to be the blueprint, but you know, they can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, our legislators are really scared to raise the revenue that they need to. And I think there's a lot of pretty simple ways that they could raise revenue. I mean, Maryland raises less revenue per capita than a lot of blue states. And so when we're scared to raise new revenue, then we can't do the things that our community needs. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk about tough budgets and there's going to need to be tough decisions. But that seems to be framed in a way that there's going to have to be cuts. And on the other side of that is they could always raise more revenue. And I think there's some growing discontent in Annapolis among some of the elected officials who see it as their duty to raise more revenue, while others more in the center of the political spectrum are kind of holding that door closed. And so I think, you know, I imagine that there will be some tension in Annapolis in the 2025 session over, are we going to just cut things that our state needs, or are we just going to do what we have to do and raise more revenue?
Ned Golden, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In August, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, released stormwater data for the seven jurisdictions that make up the Chesapeake Bay watershed: New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Only Washington, D.C. and West Virginia appear to have met the EPA's standards. The state which lags behind the most is Pennsylvania, which does not front any part of the bay itself, but must nevertheless control the quality of its stormwater discharge to a seemingly faraway water body. The EPA already has an arrangement with Pennsylvania for better stormwater performance. New York is in a similar position, but only a part of the state is within the Chesapeake Bay watershed. Surprisingly, however, other states close to the bay, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, are also likely to be behind the limits set by the Chesapeake Bay Agreement in 2010. Agriculture discharge seems to be the primary culprit now for bay pollution, though there is concern from urban areas as well. The difference, however, is that the building sector is now subject to stormwater standards, but agricultural discharge, including fertilizer and pesticide runoff, is generally not governed by existing stormwater rules, and therefore there is little ability to enforce except for the EPA to withhold grants. The Chesapeake Bay Agreement among the watershed states was intended to get ahead of clean water legislation. The Washington Metro Red Line is back in full operation all the way around to Glenmont. The eastern leg of the train line was shut down for the summer to allow integration work with the Purple Line light rail being built across Montgomery and Prince George's counties. Metro ran coach buses on dedicated lanes on Georgia Avenue. The coach buses are gone, but the dedicated bus lanes will remain until December when they are going to be reevaluated. Montgomery County's ride-on bus service and Metro's bus network are also being reorganized, creating a much more hub-and-spoke model. Those with bus-only commutes are going to be negatively impacted. DC Attorney General Brian Schwab has settled complaints over a title insurance kickback scheme. According to the complaint, some real estate agents were receiving kickbacks for referring new home buyers to particular title insurance companies, even when residents did not need title insurance. Four companies, Allied Title and Escrow, KVS Title, Union Settlement, and Modern Settlements, have agreed to pay fines and end the practice of compensating real estate agents for referring their clients for buying title insurance. Montgomery County's favorite pickle bar, Parkway Deli on Grub Road off East-West Highway, was burgled last week as part of a series of attempts that went from Silver Spring and Bethesda all the way to MacArthur Boulevard. The Parkway Deli has reopened, but the glass windows were broken and had to be boarded up. The Montgomery County Animal Shelter and Adoption Center off Muncaster Mill Road is holding a Clear the Shelter event this coming weekend, September 7th and 8th. Here is shelter spokesperson Maria Anselmo.
We're participating once again in NBC Universal Local's Clear the Shelter Pet Adoption Campaign. We will be having the Crescendo weekend on September 7th and 8th, where adoption fees will be waived for all types of animals. So that's anything we have for adoption, from dogs, cats, rabbits, reptiles, the whole nine yards, everything we've got, we'll have adoption fees waived. Our hours will be slightly different. So we will actually be opening an hour early, both on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll be open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. For this event, to help reduce wait time so people aren't stuck for hours on end, we're running an appointment system. The link to schedule an appointment with us is already out. You can find it on our website and our social media pages.
The new COVID-19 vaccine is now out in drugstores in the area. Good luck with the new school year. We'd love to hear from you on education and more. Please reach out at producer@ihppod.org. Be sure to check out our feature interview series that comes out Friday mornings. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer, Adama Gay, with support from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Washington, D.C. area post-punk rock band Gray Swift. Mike Mangiaricino on guitar and vocals. Fabrizio Cariani on guitar and backing vocals. Evan Hurd on bass. And Chris Blackburn on the drums. The songs come from their album, Closure Ends.